And yet they live with it every single day. So pray for them. All right. You take your Bibles and turn to Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's another wonderful, wonderful blessing that you've allowed us to have another day here. And as we look into your word tonight, I pray, Father, you speak to us. Personally, as I've asked over and over again, I thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight as we look into your word. I pray, Father, that we would be drawn closer to you, our faith would increase. I pray that you'd be lifted up and glorified. I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you in all that's done. I pray that everything we say and do would bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're continuing on looking at some debated passages again tonight. Some scriptures are misunderstood as teaching that a saved person can be lost simply because the passages have difficult wording that is easily misunderstood. Our debated passage that I read tonight, Romans 3:25, some wrongly understand the phrase "sins that are past" as teaching that salvation only covers sins committed before conversion. They believe that we must then ask forgiveness for each new sin we commit, or we will spend eternity in hell. This heresy is clearly not taught in this passage or anywhere else in the scriptures. Obviously, it's not. And can anybody explain to me, weren't all of our sins future when Christ died? I know mine were. I certainly wasn't around when Christ was around. However, I have been accused of that from time to time. I was not here then. And so all of them were future at that point. So once we ask forgiveness for those sins and we get saved, that's all the sins. Now, when we sin after conversion, we do go before him and confess our sins, right? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all that stuff, right? Our relationship with God never changes. Once a child of God, always a child of God. It doesn't matter what happens. And I've had some people I've known over the years, their parents have disowned them. And we know of different letters that have come in from our missionaries. If these people get saved, their family disowns them, because that's not what they believe and that's not what they think and that's not what they've been brainwashed to believe. So they will disown their family members. We don't really see that a lot here, but every once in a while you'll find a family that's disowned their child because of their behavior. However, can you really disown your children? I mean, once they're your children, they're your children. How do you go back and unmake that child? You can't. Once they've been born, they're your children. Actually, I believe wholeheartedly at conception, they're your children. So how do you not have that continually going on? God is never going to disown us. The Bible is very clear. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If people would just read the Word of God and do a little studying. I said little because people don't want to do a lot of studying. They don't want to, in fact, a little is almost too much for some. But just do a little bit of studying, you would be able to figure out that these things that they're teaching can't possibly be true. The phrase actually refers to sins before the cross and reveals that Christ's death proved God's righteousness in having forgiven sins before Calvary, even though the penalty of those sins had not yet been paid. If salvation was not available to anyone prior to the cross, there's a huge problem, isn't there? Huge. There's actually scripture that relates to Father Abraham being in paradise. How did that happen if salvation wasn't available then? Now, granted, their sins were rolled forward to the time of the cross, and they had to do blood sacrifices. Thank God we don't have to do that today. But that rolled those forward and kept rolling them forward and rolling them forward until Christ died on the cross. And at that point, all sins, past, present, and future, were covered. Thank God. Can you imagine wondering if, oh, wait a minute, that sin didn't get covered. I almost missed that one. Thank God we don't have to do that. I thank God that we serve a God that doesn't try to trip us up. He's not trying to get us so that we can get saved and get all excited and then lose it the next moment. Thank God for that. Man wants us to believe that. God does not want us to believe that. If the death of Christ on the cross only atones for pre-conversion sins, then the first sin after conversion would doom us to hell. If a single sin we ever have or will commit is not covered by the blood of Christ, then there is no hope of salvation. None. I can't even imagine. As I've said many times, can you imagine stepping out, stepping off a curb and being hit by a bus? Killed instantly? And right before you did that, you had committed some sin? You'd be doomed to hell. Why would God do that? He's not this killjoy up in heaven saying, man, I just can't wait till I trip that one up. No, Satan is the one that's trying to trip us up. God doesn't do that. Thank God he doesn't. Thank God, I mean, he actually gives us his word so he tells us how we're supposed to live. He gives us his word so we can know for sure we're saved and that it's eternal security, not just temporary security. But Satan has done everything he can to try and trip born-again believers in Jesus Christ up and make them question their salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. If you don't know for sure you're saved, the Bible says you can. You should check and make sure. But if you're sure, don't let the devil trip you up and make you question. It's that simple. It's so simple, it's easy to mess it up, right? Look at debated passage Philippians 3. Verses 11 and 12. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Some wrongly teach from this passage that Paul had not yet attained unto the resurrection. However, might attain in verse 11 is in the past tense and refers to the fact that Paul had already attained unto the resurrection. In context, Paul is declaring that if any man could have trusted in works for salvation, he could have. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verses 4 through 6. where he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But he abandoned all trust in his own righteousness and counted it as worthless dung in verses 7 and 8, where it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, so that he would receive Christ's righteousness by faith. Look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I've said many times, thank God that when he looks down upon me, he doesn't see me and my righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but he sees me through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. We should be very thankful that he doesn't see us in our own righteousness. So that we might know him. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This was now an accomplished fact. Far from teaching that we can be worthy of keeping salvation by our good works or faithfulness, this passage actually declares that it is by abandoning all such trust in our own righteousness that we can ever be saved in the first place. Some object to this interpretation because Paul says in verse 12, not as I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. However, obtained in verse 12 is from an entirely different Greek word from attain in verse 11. In verse 11, the word attain is the word katenteo, and means to meet against, arrive at. In verse 12, the word attained is the word lambano, and means obtained. Verse 12 does not say that Paul had not yet attained unto the resurrection, as was the subject of verse 11. Verse 12 specifically defines that Paul had not yet attained to, with the next words, either were already perfect. Verse 12 speaks of spiritual perfection. Paul is simply saying, I am saved, but I am not perfect. I have not arrived spiritually. Anyone here arrived spiritually already? I keep telling people, I thank God he's still working on me. A work in progress. And thank God he is. If God quit working on me, I'd have a problem. He's still working on us, and I've said many times, I believe wholeheartedly we are going to be learning constantly. We're not going to know it all. I get tired of these preachers who think they know it all. We don't know it all. I'll be the first to admit I don't know it all. I'm still learning. I'm still, as I read through the Word of God, I still see things and go, wow, how did I miss that the last 100 times through here or whatever, you know? How did I miss that? Well, it was because I didn't need it then. God's now revealed it to me, and it's like, that's why it's the living Word. God gives us what we need when we need it. Sometimes we can go through it and not pick up the same thing. Thank God for it. People constantly are saying, that book's so outdated. No, it's not. It's as relevant today as it was when it was first put down on the scrolls and then translated into the King James Version of the Bible. It's still relevant today. We need to not let Satan make us doubt the Word of God, as he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then assurance. This aspect of the completion of our salvation logically follows the doctrine of preservation or eternal security. First, I must be certain that salvation itself is secure. Then I must know that I am truly saved. Common causes of doubting salvation: failure to confess and forsake our sin, failure to grow spiritually. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Then failure to walk in the Spirit. 1 John 4:13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. I thank God when I mess up. Yeah, hard to believe, right? When I mess up, when I sin, I'm not perfect, folks. I'm human, just like everybody else. When I do that, that Holy Spirit says, you ought not have done that. That's an assurance that I'm saved. That Holy Spirit that speaks to me says, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. If that Holy Spirit isn't speaking to you, I say, there's a problem, folks. Because none of us have attained. None of us are spiritually perfect. It hasn't happened. We aren't there yet. Tell people, I'll get there when I get to heaven, right? As long as I'm here, it's not going to happen. I can strive, right? Aren't we supposed to strive to be more and more like Jesus? He's the goal. And instead, we strive to be more and more like each other because we know we can maybe hit those marks, right? No, we need to strive to be like Jesus. He's the example. Look at Romans 8, 15 and 16 of Romans 8. Romans 8, 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can know for sure. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us we can know. We don't have to wonder. We can know. And again, if the Holy Spirit isn't dealing in your life, there's a problem. Because he should be. And then failure to forgive others. Whoa, this is big. We have a horrible, horrible desire to not forgive. It's horrible. And we need to learn to forgive. It's huge. The Bible tells us over and over and over, we need to forgive. If we don't forgive those who trespass against us, then why should God forgive our trespasses? Why should he do that? If we're not, people say, well, nobody's done this to, hello. What have we not done against Almighty God? And he forgives. Yeah, but No, yeah, buts. God didn't say, I forgive you, yeah, but. No, he said, I forgive you in spite of you. In spite of what you've done, I forgive you. And we look at people and say, I forgive you if or when. No, God says we're supposed to forgive. And then that forget part. If we do forgive, what happens? We bring it up again later. But you did this. Wait a minute, you told me you forgot about that. You told me you forgave me for that. Yeah, but right now it's working to my advantage, so I'm using it again. No, that's not forgiving and forgetting. That's forgiving and putting it on the back burner and only forgiving in the sense that you want to believe you forgave when you really hadn't. Because if you had, you wouldn't keep bringing it up. We need to forgive. We need to be willing to forgive. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do we want our trespasses forgiven? Of course we do, right? Well, what does that say? If we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do we want them forgiven? Of course we do, right? It's easy to say we do, but our actions would prove that we do. If we forgive our fellow man, then that will prove that, yes, we want our trespasses forgiven also. Failure to fully understand grace and the security of our salvation. Failure to love others. Look at 1 John 3:18 through 20. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Failure to remember the details of our salvation experience, perhaps due to having been saved at an early age. Failure to publicly confess Christ and share our testimony. Failure to nail down the understanding of our initial decision. Failure to understand that Christians still sin and have doubts. Of course we still sin. Again, we're not perfect. We haven't arrived yet. We're still pressing towards the mark, right? We're still in this race. As long as we got breath still, we're still in this race. We need to not give up. All right, we're going to have to end there because we are out of time.